Okay, so we're up to Ravi. Moshe is watching the sheep of Yisrael, and he goes out. He's careful not to steal, even though the people are pagans. He makes sure that he's where it's legal for him to be. And he comes to Sinai, and he sees a burning bush. That is a first vision of prophecy. The angel appears in the burning bush, and the bush represents Egypt, and the angel burning it represents God's 10 plagues that are imminent, and the bush is not consumed, which represents that the plagues will not destroy Egypt completely. So Moshe looks and he wonders if God is going to intervene on behalf of Israel and burn that bush, the bush that represents Egypt. Why will Egypt not be destroyed by the 10 plagues? Why is that burning bush not consumed? And Hashem calls out to him, and Moshe hears his father's voice. When Hashem shows up to a person, he doesn't scare him. So Hashem first appears to Moshe in his father's voice, and Moshe turns around, and God tells him, take your shoes off, Moshe. You're standing in a holy place, Sinai. Why is it called Sinai? One understanding is the first vision was of a snare. Sinai is like the snare, like that bush. What is that snare? Chazal tell us the snare is a thorn bush that has thorns pointing downward. And you could stick your hand in and slide by the thorns. But when you try to pull it out, it tears up a person's hands. So too, the Egyptians, when we came down, they were very nice to us. Come! But when it's time to come out, we're going to pay the price. So Hashem sees that he took note. He paused. He looked at the bush. And Hashem calls out to him, Moshe, Moshe. We pointed out in earlier classes that Moshe is the only one that's called twice, and there is no psik between both callings. And we said that the psik, when it says Yaakov, Yaakov, Avraham, Avraham, these were giants, Avraham, Yaakov. But they had even greater potential. And the only one who reached his potential was Moshe. And that's why Moshe has no break between the two times that he's called. God tells him, I am the God of your father. I am the God of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And Moshe covers his face. He won't look. Two opinions in Chazal as to whether Moshe did was right or wrong. One opinion says it was right, and as such he merited to the highest visions of prophecy. The other opinion says it was wrong, and the exact opposite. When he attained that highest vision of prophecy, he said, God, I want to see more. And God said, when I wanted to show you, you didn't want to look. Now that you want to see, I don't want to show. Whatever that means. God tells him, Ra'o ra'iti et oni ami asher mitzrayim. See, I have seen the affliction of my people in Egypt. Notice there's no mention of whether they deserve it or not. I've seen their calling to me because they are suffering. Doesn't say they deserve it or not. Because we know from the Navin Yechezkel that Hashem had sent a prophet earlier and had asked the Jewish people to do tshuva. That prophet was none other than Moshe's big brother Aaron. And the Jewish people refused to listen. So Hashem says, I wanted them to leave Egypt differently. I wanted them to merit the Geula. I wanted them to do things in accordance with the Torah. I wanted them to fix their ways. And then they would leave Egypt differently. But they have refused. And so Hashem says, I'm going to turn to them, even though they are leading these pagan lives, they are my nation nonetheless. And that is the point we discussed in the beginning of yesterday's class, that our relationship very often is judged by our lows, not by our highs. It's easy to love someone when everything's going great. The question is, what happens when it's not going great? It's easy to love being Jewish when you're excited and everything is blossoming and everything's going well. What happens when it's not going well? It's easy to love Israel when you just came in and you see the palm trees and everything's beautiful. But what happens when you face up with Misrad HaPnim? Our connection is measured by when things are not going well. And so Hashem says, I've seen the fact that they haven't returned to me. They have called rather because they are suffering. And nonetheless, I have come down to save them, to bring them out of that land. Hashem describes his seeing our plight as Ra'o Ra'iti. See, I have seen. Says the Midrash, Hashem said, see, I've seen them standing at Sinai accepting the Torah, and I've seen them sinning at the Egel. I know that we're in for a bumpy ride. And even so, I want to take them out. People enter marriage thinking it's all going to be beautiful. It is. It is going to be beautiful. But it's also going to be bumpy. And that's par for the course. And when God takes us out of Egypt, God says, I know that 40 days after I give them the Torah, I'm going to come home to find them with someone else. They're going to be, so to speak, adulterous. They're going to go with the Egel. And even so, I'm going to take them out. Hashem says, I'm going to take them out of that land to a broad land. Why would Eretz Yisrael be described as a broad land? Eretz Yisrael has a gift. It's called Eretz HaTzvi. Like the land is called the land of the deer. Why a deer? Because when you slaughter a deer, you'll notice how beautiful the skin sits on the deer. And when the deer moves, he has such grace in his movements. Everything seems to fit nicely. If you take off that skin and try to put it back on, it won't fit. So too the land of Israel. When we were in the land of Israel, when we are in the land of Israel, it fits with grace. When any other nation comes here and they look at it, they say, that's tiny, it's smaller than Staten Island, smaller than Long Island, or I don't know, the size of Long Island, how big is Israel?
Israel's not
smaller than Long Island. Smaller than New Jersey. Okay. Fine. One state in the United States is bigger. But it seems so big. So big. Yeah. Because it fits. It's Eretz HaTzvi. It's a gift. Even the nations seem to think it's big. Just give them a little piece of this land, a little piece of that land, right? Netanyahu, when there was the Gulf War, was on CNN. So he said, let's just review what we're talking about. He takes out a globe or a map and he says, this is Israel. He puts one finger. These are the Arab nations. One, two, three, four, five. His hand is like covering the globe. He says, so what are we talking about?
So we should trust him because of what he said 10 years ago?
I didn't say anything about him. I just quoted something he said. Hashem says, I'm going to bring them to a land flowing with milk and honey, a wonderful land. Hashem says, on the one hand, I've heard their cry. On the other hand, I see the cruelty of the Egyptians. And often when Hashem comes to save us, there's this dual nature. Our pain their cruelty. There are psukim that seem to say only their cruelty. In one pasuk, Hashem says, "Don't think you got the land of Israel because you're so good. It's because they're so bad." That's what the pasuk says. So go, I want to send you to Paro, take out my nation, the sons of Israel, from Egypt. And Moshe turns to God. He's been a fugitive for the last 65 years. He's an 80-year-old man. And he says, "Who am I? I'm going to talk to Paro." And what does God answer him? "I will be with you." The key to whether a person will have the strength to do something or not begins with how much is Hashem with him. Hashem gives him a sign. He says, "When you come out of Egypt, you'll be on this mountain." On different occasions we went into the sign. And then Moshe questions. He says, "The Jews are going to ask, you know, we never heard of such a concept that God sends a prophet to talk. All other prophecies in history were to the individual." And God tells him, "Tell them that Ehyeh sent me to them. I will be. What has God done for the Jewish people in the last 210 years? And God is talking about where he will be with them. But what about where he is now? Very often, if we focus on the now, we have questions about where God is. The Ramban, we learned, says that that's one of the strengths of the Torah philosophically, as opposed to the other nations, that the Torah gives us promises in the here and now. If the Jewish people live up to the Torah, they'll have the land of Israel, Hashem says, now. So on the one hand, the Torah does talk about now. But there's also importance in seeing beyond the now. Yes, sir?
You said that you go to the Bible and say, "Tell them to go talk." But then with other arms, you didn't have to send them, because Allah by himself was calling out the people, Hashem and Allah.
But not as prophecy. He was attracting people to monotheism, but he wasn't telling them, "God told me to tell you this." That's fine. But why should someone believe that God suddenly speaks through other people? Till now in history, God only spoke to people directly. It's not my thought. It's the Rambam in the Guide to the Perplexed. Yes, sir?
And he also spoke to her.
What?
He spoke to her also.
Yeah. Ah. You're saying, according to that, what does the Rambam do with that Midrash? He could answer you, but I'd rather look up the Rambam again and see if the Rambam addresses it. I could guess an answer, but I don't know. First, let's see if the Rambam gives an answer. It's a good question.
Can I ask another question?
Yeah.
When you said Moshe reaches potential, did you mean at that point or in the future?
I think it means in the future. It's a Nefesh HaChaim. It's not my thought. It's in the Rav Chaim of Elazhin. Okay. Guys, you'll have to excuse me.